it is the usual pattern that after the Abhishek, everybody just kind of, you know, does their thing, goes on home or to school or whatever. But you don't want to do that today. You don't want to do that today because the hill's going to come off the altar. We're going to circumambulate it, and then the hill's going to get distributed. You want to hang out. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi jana ballava ki banadari. Yasoda nandana braja jana randana. Yamuna tira banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Lila Pravista Astatarasata Sisi Manas Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Iskan Founder Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Hadwaita Sugarad Harshivasiri Gaur Bhaktivin Nikita Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopina Shama Kundarada Kundigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Giri Raj Maharaj Ki Govardhan Adari Ki Gaur Bhaktivin Ki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So traditionally, Govardhan Puja is, of course, not on a weekend, but we have a community of school and work-based people. So the wonderful thing about this community is that we facilitate that. So as Mother Mukhi said, we're going to have the festival today on the day, and then we're going to celebrate again on Sunday. And Seisha and I have cooperated, and we're doing a double header here. So we're going to get part of the Govardhan Leela today, and then Seisha's going to wrap it up on Sunday. And you don't want to miss that class, trust me. You can miss mine, but you don't want to miss that one. So, the verse we're chanting is on the board. Everybody can chant along after me. Namaste Girirajaya. Namaste Girirajaya. Shri Govardhana Namine. Asesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Dayine. Namaste Girirajaya. Shri Govardhana Namine, Asesha Klesha Nashaya, Paramananda Dayine, Namaste Girirajaya, Shri Govardhana Namine, Asesha Klesha Nashaya, Paramananda Dayine. My obeisances to the King of the Mountains, who is known as Sri Govardhan. He destroys unlimited obstacles and bestows the highest bliss to the devotees. Omagyana Tamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yanatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangumlam Jayati Agirim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurundini Tarino Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubahevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasidhi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Govardhan Hill has unlimited pastime places. There are literally hundreds of thousands of sacred places on Govardhan Hill. Of course, not all of them in our current time frame are manifest. So to make an effort to discuss them in the course of this class, or to visit them all in one parikram of Govardhan Hill, is not possible. Take many, many, many classes, many, many, many hours, and many, many, many parikrams. Hopefully everyone here, I remember from last year, most everyone here has been to Govardhan. Some have done multiple circumambulation of Govardhan. So we're all familiar with the basic fact that Govardhan Hill is unlimited. Now, there's a wonderful prayer that is offered to Sri Giriraj that is spoken by Sananda Maharaj, who is the younger brother of Nanda Baba. And it's quoted in the Garga Samhita. It goes as follows. Namo Vrindavanayakya Tubhyam Golokamoline Purna Brahmatapatraya Namo Govardhanayacha. Obeisances to you, who are the crown of Goloka, and who sit on Vrindavan's lap. Obeisances to Govardhan, the parasol of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we know that everything in the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. We have Gokula here, which is a reflection of Goloka. And of course, the eternal spiritual world is unlimitedly existing. There is no beginning and end. But for the sake of the Lord's divine pastimes, for the sake of Leela, there are so-called beginnings and origins of people, places, and things in the spiritual world. So, which is kind of misleading, because the personalities of the spiritual world are all purely spiritual, and spirit means there's no beginning and end. But yet we have these pastimes of the Lord where these different beginnings and ends are manifest. So this is the amazing quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that something appears to be what it's not when it actually is. So how did Giriraj appear in the spiritual world in Goloka? One time, Radha and Krishna and the gopis, they were resting in a very, very beautiful kunja bower. And they were enjoying their quiet pastimes with each other. Now, the acharyas, they've described that this particular bower had many, many multicolored umbrellas and beautiful, fragrant flowered awnings. There were multicolored strands of pearls hanging from all these awnings. And in the backdrop, there were various gopis playing mridanga and kartal and singing all songs of the Rasa Leela. So in this environment, Sri Radhika, surrounded by her gopis, she looked very lovingly at Sri Shyam. And in a very sweet voice, she said, "If you are pleased with me and with my love for you and with our sweet Rasa dance, then please, you fulfill one desire that I have had burning in my heart for a very long time." So Krishna at once responded, "Of course, at once, in an instant. What is that desire? I will fulfill anything you want." So she, Radha, leaned very close, and closing her eyes, she whispered very sweetly into Sri Krishna's ear, "Find somewhere in the vast forest of Vrindavan, by the bank of the Jamuna River, that is very beautiful, and create there a place where we can hold our pastimes, especially our Rasa Leela, and not be interrupted." So, Sri Krishna began to meditate with half-closed eyes. And in his mind, he began searching through all of Braj and all the different places, trying to locate a suitable place for Sri Radha's request. Then, as Sri Radha and the gopis looked on in great amazement, Sri Krishna's love for Radha manifested in the form of a golden droplet and came from his heart, manifested on the external of his body, and fell to the ground. So this was quite amazing. But even more amazing was when this drop of prema from Sri Krishna fell to the ground, it turned into a huge mountain. Now, this was no ordinary mountain. It had crystal clear lakes and beautiful running streams, brilliantly effulgent caves. Now, of course, we're familiar with caves. You go in, and the minute you go in, it's all dark because there's no light. These caves were filled with all types of gemstones and were effulgent. And many, many varieties of flowering trees, creepers of every type of fragrant flower imaginable, and unlimited birds of so many brilliant colors, all singing different songs. So the sight of this mountain, it even amazed Sri Krishna himself. And he thought out loud, just see my love for Sri Radha. So within a short moment or two, this hill manifested itself into 100 golden peaks. And each of these peaks collectively were more brilliant than any of the palaces in Vaikuntha. Now, of course, such a big mountain as this did not go unnoticed. Matter of fact, it was very noticeable. And all the Brijvasis, they saw this effulgent mountain, and they were fully amazed. So the elder cowherd men, upon seeing this big mountain, they decided to call it Govardhan. And they decided this because it was a very suitable shelter for the cows. And it was filled with all desire trees. Go, cows, and Vardhana, shelter. So one particularly special feature of this hill was the grass that grew there. Any of you that have had the habit to walk barefoot on our St. Augustine grass know that it's not a pleasant experience. So this particular grass was very, very soft, and the tips of it were very, very supple, and it was just perfect for the cows to eat. It wouldn't cut the insides of their mouth or cause them any disturbance. They could eat as much as they wanted very, very pleasantly. So in this way, some of the elderly gopas also looked and said, let us call this mountain Satashringa. This means a mountain that is very beautiful due to having 100 golden peaks. So after all this appreciation, another very amazing thing happened in that Govardhan began to expand and expand and expand and expand more and more and more. This was due to Govardhan being the manifestation of Krishna's love for Sri Radha, which is unlimited. And so Govardhan began to expand unlimitedly. And so much did he expand that there was nothing else in all of Goloka. And this became quite a disturbance, actually. He was expanding so much, everywhere was Govardhan Hill. So the residents, they actually came to Krishna and began to complain a little bit. You know, we have nothing, this is Govardhan Hill, what's going on? So Sri Krishna did a very interesting thing here. When he saw that what he had created was causing this difficulty, and after all he had created, he resolved that I will have to correct the situation. So he got up, and he walked over to Govardhan, he slapped him. Gave him a good slap. And upon feeling the touch of Sri Krishna's hand, this drew Govardhan to his external senses, and he shrank himself back down to the size of a proper mountain. So Krishna then said to Govardhan, he said to him, Govardhan, why have you expanded to such an enormous size without considering the feelings and needs of others who live here in Goloka? When I read that, I happened to think, this is really a nice, instructive statement that Krishna gives to Govardhan that we can all actually benefit from, particularly those of us that have some responsibility, you know, as, you know, managers or husbands or wives or business dealings or whatever, that we have to be considerate of the feelings of those that are already there in our dealings and not just go about becoming very big ourselves. So I thought that was a very instructive thing. So after this exchange between Govardhan and Krishna, then Sri Radha came forward to inspect the offering of Krishna that he had manifested for her pleasure. So after inspecting everything, she turned to Sri Krishna, and she smiled very, very pleasingly, took him by the hand, and went into Govardhan Hill to enjoy their pastimes. So this is all described by Baladev Vidyabhushana. And he goes on to describe that Giriraj is a like a multicolored rainbow. Now, I know many devotees here are worshiping Govardhan Shila in their homes, and we've all had this experience that Govardhan comes in so many different colors. We have some on the altar here that are many, many different colors, and we've seen white ones. And I actually saw crystal Govardhan Shila, very, very beautiful, and yellow ones, and brown and striped, and just like as Baladev Vidyabhushana says, just like a multicolored rainbow. And that he is the reservoir of all holy places, and therefore very dear to the divine couple, the Brijbasis, and to the cows. Of course, we know that Srila Rupa Goswami says that of all the holy places in creation, the most wonderful place is Vrindavan. And of all the holy places in Vrindavan, the most wonderful place is Govardhan Hill. So with that mood of appreciation, I think it's nice if we start a bit of a Govardhan parikram. Are there devotees here who have not? Because I remember the last time I asked this question, it was impossible to see the difference. Are there devotees here who have not had the opportunity to circumambulate Govardhan Hill? I'm happy to see that you're in the minority. You'll have to correct that in the next year. So for those that would like, we can take a little meditative journey. We can imagine ourselves at Govardhan Hill and start this journey of circumambulating him and offering our praise and appreciation to him. One interesting thing that Jiva Goswami explains, that when Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill, of course, we would assume, I mean, you've got for a visual description, you've got a large chunk of dirt and rocks, and you lift it up out of the ground. Well, what do you have? You have dirt and rocks that fall off of that, and you have more dirt and rocks here. Now, imagine it's raining, and of course, now you've got mud mixing with everything, and if you're, part of the Bhaktivedanta Academy, that's just a description for great pleasure. But, generally speaking, when the cowherd men and women and cows all are going to take shelter underneath, who wants to traipse through a bunch of mud? So Krishna made a wonderful arrangement in that way. When he lifted Govardhan Hill, there was no mud. Actually, underneath Govardhan Hill was practically another village with innumerable structures and storage houses of grains and residences for them and paved roads with all types of jewels, and it was amazingly illuminated there. And there was a green grass for the cows, and when the residents entered under there, they stayed there for 7 days with no inconvenience. Now, many of you have had the opportunity, I'm sure, to hear about the difficulties some of the residents of the upper northeast part of the country have been going through since this big hurricane came through. For 7 days now, difficulty with, no place to, actually I think it's going on 2 weeks, no place to live, and, I just heard a description on the news the other day, this one family has been to 6 different shelters that they've had to stay in and swap around, and such great inconvenience. Here, Krishna has provided so nicely for the cowherd men, somewhat of a catastrophe, similar, huge, big rainstorm, hurricane, whatever, and yet all facilities are made for them, that even though you're not in your home, everything will be to your comfort. So this is the amazing thing of Sri Krishna when he gives his offering to his devotees. So the cowherd men were very, very satisfied when they saw all these beautiful gems and pearls and, illuminating jewels. And there was a very cool, pleasant breeze blowing underneath Govardhan Hill there. And Krishna was very happy because the cowherd men and cowherd women, they were astonished when they saw this. And that brought him great pleasure that he had satisfied their needs in that way. So, again, with that in mind, most persons, when they start the Govardhan Parikram, start from one of two places, either Radhakund or the Manasi Ganga area where the temple of Haridev is. And both are accepted. Well, most Yaskhan devotees, they generally start from Radhakund. So we start at Radhakund. And a wonderful place at Radhakund that we can start with is the area where the tongue of Govardhan is. This is a very interesting story because this took place during the time of Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. They were living in that area. And Jiva Goswami, I think it was someone was mentioning just the other day in class, Jiva Goswami was, I think it was Bhakti Churi Maharaj, yeah. Jiva Goswami was administrating, so to speak, these affairs of keeping everything up there. And so nobody wanted to use the waters from Radhakund for their daily necessities. You know, they would take bath there and respectfully, but as far as all the, you know, bhajan and all that, nobody wanted to use the waters there. So they wanted to dig a well. So it was arranged to have some workers begin to dig a well. And Raghunath Goswami had orchestrated the well should be in such and such a place. Convenient, but not a part of. So the workers were digging. And in the process of digging this well, blood started to come from the ground. This is quite shocking. You can imagine you're digging a hole in the ground and blood starts to come up. So they stopped and they're very concerned. They stopped and dug again and still. So they went to Raghunath Das Goswami and they said, you know what, we're quite perplexed by this. What does this mean? So don't do any more drilling today. So that night, Govardhan himself appeared to Raghunath Das in a dream, told him, they have struck my tongue. This is the location of my tongue. Therefore, have them excavate bigger, remove this tongue, the Shila of Govardhan, and then they can continue with the well. So in this way, that tongue of Govardhan is still there, very nicely worshipped. One small little temple just near Radhakund Shyamkund. It's a very, very beautiful place. Very simple place, very small, very sweet there. And so this is where we start, right near the Radhagovinda Mandir. So we leave the town of Govardhan and we go for a walk on some of the few sandy paths left. They keep broadening the asphalt there and the sand keeps disappearing every year. But there is still a bit of sand on the side. And you go for some distance and we see there's one very nice structure coming up in the distance there, and it's Kusum Sarovara. And Kusum Sarovara was built around the 1700, 1750, 60, something like that. It was built by the king of Bharatpur. And it's an area where there were many, many different pastimes of Radha and Krishna and cowherd boys and all the associates there that took place. And it's been said many times that during the times when the British, this was in the late 1800s, I believe it was, they were doing a lot of geological charting of the Vrindavan area. And the story goes that they had tried to do some diving to find the bottom of Kusum Sarovara. And they weren't able to. So this is widely spoken about how it's very, very deep there. So it's a very ancient area. There's not so much now, but there were at the time very, very beautiful flower gardens there. And the gopis would come every day to pick these flowers. And they would use them for their worship of Surya. They would use them for their pujas in their home and for the different temples like that. So one day, Krishna was in a very playful mood and the gopis came for picking their flowers and Krishna jumped out from behind a bush. He said, hey, who are you? Why are you picking these flowers? Who has given you permission? And so Radha said, it's me. Don't you know who I am? And Krishna said, if I knew who you were, I wouldn't ask, who are you? He was in a very playful mood. Well, I don't care if you know me or not, replied Sri Radha. We are picking flowers and you'd best not bother us. And Krishna said, well, I am the gardener here. Maharaj Kandarpa, Cupid, is the king of this forest and he has given me all of his powers. So if you do not stop, I will confiscate all the flowers you've connected. And Radharani said, yes, I know you. You're actually just a thief. You have captured the Maharaj's property, and now you're going to try and capture the hearts of us young girls, but you will not be successful. So Krishna said, no, no, you are the thief. And he gives a very nice analogy. He says, every limb of your body has stolen something. Your hands and soles of your feet have stolen the beauty of the lotus flower. Your gait has stolen the beauty of the elephants and the swans. Your nails have stolen the beauty of the mirrors. Your knees have stolen the beauty of golden balls. Your hips have stolen the beauty of banana trees. Your navel has stolen the beauty of a lake of nectar. Your teeth have stolen the beauty of a pearl necklace. Your eyes have stolen the beauty of a deer's eyes. The folds of your stomach have stolen the waves of the Jamuna. You have stolen all of these things, therefore you are a thief. So Radha replied, "Oh, you are very clever. You're such a great thief, and now you're acting like a saint and calling us a thief. You had to steal the clothes of the gopis because even though you are a prince, no one would give their daughter in a hand to marriage to you. You have not planted a single tree in this forest, and yet you call it yours. Vrindadevi has taken great pains to plant and keep this forest very clean, and she has given it to me as a gift. There is a sign there that says, 'Ladies only.' We are just picking flowers for our worship of Lord Surya. How dare you enter here? If you don't leave at once, I'll call Lalita." And at this point, Vishakha began to move everyone on their way to where Radha and Krishna were to see the fun. So in this way, some small pastimes that are taking place at Kushma Sarovara. So if we leave Kushma Sarovara and come back out to the main Farakram path, this path is nicely sandy. And in a very short distance is a beautiful place, and it happens to be my favorite place. It's called Shamkutira. Shamkutira means the black forest. This place has a couple of particular significance to it. It's a very forested area. It's one of the few areas around Govardhan that is still quite thickly forested. And it's very cool and peaceful there. Very, very nice place. And it's the first area which Govardhan begins to come above ground. It's where you'll first start to see some of the Govardhan Shilas. And it's also the site where that very horrible fight took place between Sankakunda when he tried to steal the gopis from Krishna and Balaram. Now, a lot of the pastimes when this happens, there'll be a demon try to steal Krishna's gopis, to try to steal Balaram's gopis. This guy was so stupid. He tried to steal them from Krishna and Balaram at the same time. I mean, you're going to tangle with Krishna, or you're going to tangle with Balaram. He's going to tangle with both of them. So I can't imagine what his mindset was. But he was a close friend of the treasurer of the demigods, Govera, and he was very powerful and rich. And, you know, sometimes that causes a little bit of false ego. And he was full of arrogance and false pride. And so he was mistaking Krishna Balaram. These are just two ordinary cowherd boys, and they have all these beautiful girls, so I'm going to steal them. So this was what his plan was. And so Krishna, he said, "Balaram, you take charge of the gopis. You keep an eye on them, protect them so nothing further happens, and I'll go take care of this guy." And of course, Krishna disposed of him very quickly. And after killing him, he took the conch shell jewel that was how he got his name away from him, and he gave it as a gift to Lord Balaram when he returned. So inside of Shamkutira is one kund, and this kund is called Ratnakund. And there's a very, very beautiful throne that in previous times was jeweled with diamonds and rubies and sapphires. And it sits on a nice dais. And Radha and Krishna used to sit there and have their different types of pastimes. It's called Ratnakund for another reason. This is an area where Krishna would comb Radharani's hair with a jeweled comb. Very, very. You can imagine, it's a very peaceful and quiet, secluded place that these activities can go on. There's also a place there where there is a footprint and a hoofprint of a cow, footprint of Krishna, and a staff where his footprint is there. I mean, his stick was there. So if we come back out from Shamkutira, back out to the main road, and we walk a little further, it's still quite a peaceful walk, but it starts to get a little bustling and busy now. And we come on the outskirts of the town of Manasi Ganga. And the road kind of splits. You can stay with the main traffic road, or you can take the footpath that goes into the village. And you go through Manasi Ganga for a bit, and then you come to the turnoff for the actual lake, Manasi Ganga. And, I mean, geez, there's almost as many stories about Manasi Ganga as we could tell in the whole course of a class as well. The source of it, of course, is after Krishna killed Vatsasura, the calf. The cowherd boys wanted him to purify himself for that. And they wanted him to go and bathe in the Ganga. But, of course, Krishna didn't want to leave Vrindavan and the cowherd boys, the gopis. So he sat in meditation and called for the Ganga to come. And Gangi Devi came in this form of this river, it was a river at the time, riding on the back of a crocodile. And they say that to this day in Manasi Ganga, there are still crocodiles. I spent quite a bit of time, cell phones? I spent quite a bit of time there looking for them one time, but never saw any. So, in Manasi Ganga, there was a very sweet pastime. It's a boat pastime. There's many boat pastimes. But Krishna was, the gopis had come, and they needed to get to the other side of Manasi Ganga, which, as I say, was a river at the time there at the base of Govardhan Hill. And they had their milk sweets and their butter and the things they wanted to take and they wanted to sell in the market. So they came to the docks, and there was one very old-looking boat. It didn't look too secure, but it was the only boat around. There was no other boat. And the boatman was a young boy that didn't look very experienced. But, you know, the gopis, they had to get their sweets and everything to the market. So they spoke to the boatman, you can take us across. He said, yes, the price will be such and such. Ha! Oh, that is so much. We're not paying that much. Oh, no, no, you have to. So, you know, the usual system. There was some barter back and forth. And finally, the price was settled. Some of the sweets and the yogurt that you're carrying with you. So, all right, this is good. So, Sri Krishna, as the young boatman in this old boat, began to row the boat out into the Manasi Ganga River. And as he got out a little ways, he said, oh, this is really tiring work. I have to take a break. And he laid back in the boat. And he said, not only am I tired, but I'm very hungry. So you're going to have to pay me in advance some of the sweets and milk products you've got. And the gopi said, we're not paying you anything. You get us across to the other side here. He said, no. You have to pay me in advance. We're going to pay you. We're going to pay you by throwing you out of the boat if you don't start rowing. So each gopi, they would grab an arm and like this. He said, no. I need a massage. He said, we'll massage you as we throw you out. So there was this back and forth going between them like this. So Krishna began to row again. And after a short distance, he stopped again. And he pointed to the middle of the boat. He said, there's a hole in this boat. You see, the water's coming through. And it's coming through faster. We've got too much weight. You brought too many things. We're going to have to throw some of the stuff overboard. So Krishna said, all right, first you're going to have to throw some of your yogurt. No, we can't throw our yogurt. Well, then you're going to have to throw your sweets. We can't throw our sweets. Well, then the butter. No, you're going to have to throw some because the water's coming in quicker. So the gopis reluctantly began to throw the milk overboard. They say this is why Manasi Ganga has a whitish color to the water. So they began to throw the milk, and then they threw all of their milk products and all of their sweets and all of their butter overboard. And he said, it's still leaking. So he said, I think you better start throwing your bangles. You have so much joy. All of you girls have all these earrings and tiki and bangles, so you've got to start throwing that overboard. We're going to sink. No, our parents have given us this. We can't give them. Well, then we're going to sink. All right. So start taking the bangles off and throwing them overboard and, you know, the earrings and everything. And Krishna says, that's just not enough. You know, right here, and water's still coming up. I think you're going to have to throw your clothes overboard too. I said, what? We're not doing that. And at this point, Krishna started rocking the boat a bit. With his stick, you know, the boatman's stick, rocking the boat back and forth. And they became very afraid. And in her fear, Radharani grasped the neck of the boatman for shelter. And as she did, she felt, well, what is this? It was Krishna's flute sticking out of his belt, poking her. And she realized that this was Sri Krishna all along. So at that pastime finished with them having a pleasant boat ride the rest of the way across the Manasi Ganga. So, of course, also at Manasi Ganga is Chakratirtha. And when Govardhan Hill was held up and all the water was coming down from Lord Indra, pouring onto Govardhan Hill, it was pouring off of the sides, as I mentioned. It wasn't pouring in. It was very nice and pristine under there, but it was pouring everywhere. And Krishna was becoming a little concerned about the flooding that may occur. So he called for Sudarshan Chakra, Chakratirtha. And Sudarshan came at this place, and as the water hit Govardhan Hill, his effulgence dried it up so there was no flooding in the rest of the area. So, and this is also the home of Chakaleshwar Mahadev. He's one of the five Shivalingams that protects the Dham, particularly gives protection to Govardhan Hill. And so this is his residence there. So if we come back out through the other side of the village of Manasi Ganga and continue, on the road, we actually come into the town of Govardhan, and the mood changes dramatically. Cars and buses and motor rickshaws and crowds of people and bumper to bumper, and especially at this time during Kartik, and especially on Govardhan Puja Day, and crowds and crowds and singing and kirtan and noise, and it's a calliope of just sounds. And so you come to the main junction there, and you make a right, and you go down, and as you're going, you pass the most noted place in that part of town, and that is the Sri Govardhan Sweet Shop. And at the Govardhan Sweet Shop, they make the best sun papri that you will ever have the good fortune to offer to Giriraj and taste in your entire life. And if you've never done that, you have to go there and do that. So you go up a little bit further, and then the road branches off to where Govardhan is actually fully manifest now. This is the Dungati area, and you make a right, and at this place, the road narrows to about, from this wall maybe, to Prabhupada's Vyasa sign. And on that stretch of road, you have two lines of vehicles going this way and that way, and two lines of pilgrims, actually mostly they're just all going that way, and at the same time, you have pilgrims doing Dandabhat Parikram in this area. So it's a very interesting place to walk through. And so you go down there just a bit, and then on your left is a very beautiful palace, and it's the Bhaktivedanta Ashram. It's the ISKCON temple there at Govardhan. It's managed by Keshava Bharati Maharaj, and he's been managing the place for a very, very long time. It's a very exquisite mood there, very clean, very nicely organized, very peaceful. What is his favorite saying when you're up at the top and you look from the top of the building just across the street? There's Govardhan. He says, how does he say it? The Bhaktivedanta Ashram, where the darshan never ends. Because all you have to do is go to the top and look across the road, day or night, morning or evening, sunrise, sunset, and there's Govardhan Hill, completely visible. So it's very, very nice there. And, of course, this was previously owned by the Maharaj of Chhatrapur. And he gave this as a gift to Tamal Krishna Goswami when he was still with us. And Goswami Maharaj accepted it on behalf of ISKCON. And at the time, there was a very beautiful dark Shila being worshipped there as Krishna, Govardhan Shila. Very, very nice. And the devotees, of course, when they got the place, they continued the process of worshipping this deity very nicely. As the need was there to expand the facilities, they began to dig a well. And in the process of digging this well, they came across a very large, whitish, light-colored Govardhan Shila. And it was made clear to them that this was actually Lord Balaram. And so he was placed on the altar, and they have Krishna and Balaram at Govardhan Hill. And these are the predominating deities there. Once we finish there and come back out, then we have two options. One option is to stay on the vehicle path, which continues around. But there's a very, very sweet alternative. Just a little ways down, there's a gate, and it enters into a very, very sandy path. And this is a sandy path that comes in a little closer to Govardhan, and you can walk from there all the way down to Govindakund on this path. If you have never done this in the early morning hours during the Kartik season, the weather's a little bit cool and the sand is very, very deep there. I mean, the sand is easily up to your ankles. And you go there in the early morning hours and the sand is very, very cool. I mean, almost cold. And you're placing your feet in it and walking. You just feel so refreshed walking in that part of Govardhan Hill. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful experience. And it just allows your meditation on Govardhan to sink in so beautifully as you walk this area. This is the Anakut Kshetra area where the big offering was made. Now, on the other side of that, Sesha and I have had the experience that if you go too late in the day, that sand is like burning fire. And I remember Sesha and I were walking on that path, and it was so hot by the time we got into it, you realize, because, you know, your feet are not so bad, but you get about halfway down and you realize, oh, this was a mistake. And especially you're going barefoot. But it's the same distance out as it is in. So I remember he and I would see, oh, there's a shade tree right there. You ready? One, two, three. And run through the sand to get to that next shady spot. Okay, rest there for a second. Okay, there's the next one up there. But then there's a long patch where there's no shade. And it's so when you go to Govardhan, you want to be sure you get to Anakukshetra early. Or wear shoes, whatever your preference is. So now this area, of course, is where the huge offering was made to Sri Giriraj. And the residents of Vrindavan brought thousands and thousands and thousands of varieties of preparations and mounds of food, all varieties of sweetmeats imaginable, and samosas and kachoris, and mounds and mounds and mounds of rice and halva and puris and all varieties of sabjis and all different kinds of milk preparations. And Krishna appeared, of course, in his gigantic form and ate everything. Now, this area is, at the time that Krishna manifested and ate all this, this Anakut area was about 2 miles in size. And all of that was filled, and Krishna ate everything. And who knows what Krishna said after he was finished? Huh? Huh? Aniyor. He snapped his fingers. Aniyor, Aniyor. Now, sometimes if you have a servant and they haven't provided so nicely, maybe, hey, come on, what's going on here? So Krishna's eating and he's hungry. He's like, Aniyor, Aniyor, give me some more. So they brought all more and more and more, and then Krishna was very satisfied after that. So this is that place, Aniyor, and there's a village right there, Aniyor. After this was all finished, of course, Nanda Baba arranged for a huge, big arti, and then after arti, a giant Agnihotra was held. It's said that during that Agnihotra, all the demigods came down to take part in this Agnihotra, except, of course, Indra, who was feeling insulted at the time. And so from there, we go down to Govindakund. We a little more walk, and you come upon the Govindakund area. And Govindakund is a very, very sweet place. It's actually said that the best place to obtain Govardhan Shilas is from Govindakund, because Govindakund is filled with a special type of prema. So this is also the area where the Bhajan Kutir of Madhavendra Puri is, after he found the deity of Gopal and arranged for his establishing there. This is a wonderful description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, fourth chapter. It's a very, very blissful chapter to read. You should all read that sometime during the course of your day today. The big importance, the main thing that Govindakund is known for, is this is where Indra came after so-called being insulted, and sought his offered his apologies to Sri Krishna. He came with Sarabhi, his cow, who poured milk, and that milk performed an abhishek over the body of Krishna. And then Airavata, his elephant, who poured water from his trunk, and that came and performed an abhishek for Krishna, just like we'll perform later. And all of that water collected together to form Govindakund. And after the abhishek was offered, it was actually noticed that all the demigods came forward at that time, because remember, they were there for this Agnihotra taking place. They came over and came forward and took place in the abhishek, just like all the demigod residents of our wonderful new Ramanarita will come forward and take part in the abhishek today, and bathe. And it mentions that the demigods came with their mothers. Now, this is an interesting point, because some insult had been made by the king of the demigods, Indra. So that kind of reflected badly. Just like if some guest comes to our community and is poorly received, it reflects on all of us. So all the demigods are feeling guilty. So when you've done something wrong, sometimes if you take your mother ahead, she can, you know, kind of, you know, put a treatise forward on your behalf, you know, like that. So the demigods all came with their mothers there to bathe Krishna. And after the abhishek, they did a big RT and, you know, performed all the proper puja and all. And then when they departed, they left all the puja articles laying around. So in the meantime, the boys and the calves, they all come upon this scene, and they see the tail end of this puja here and all these different things. And so they have seen this, and now everything's left. So like little boys, what do? They pick it all up and imitate what they saw. And they start swinging lamps and fanning chamras and pouring things, you know, like that. And they're just having a grand old time doing this and singing all kinds of cowherd boy songs and like that. And so The demigods heard all of this and saw how sweet it was that these cowherd boys were offering like this, and they felt ashamed of their own efforts to offer worship to Giriraj. So when then Nanda Maharaj and the adults, they all arrived on the scene, and they saw all the boys with all this elaborate paraphernalia. What are you boys doing? What's going on? They said, actually it was Madho Mangal, because, you know, he was the Brahmin amongst them, and so it was Madho Mangal that spoke up. He said, well, you know, we just came on the scene. We saw first there was a cow, and he started pouring milk on Krishna. There was a big elephant that poured water on Krishna. And then some guy with 1,000 eyes all over his body, some big person, he started offering some prayers to Krishna. And then all these other big people, they came and started waving arti and all like this. And, you know, so, and then suddenly a loud voice, while Madho Mangal is saying all this, a very loud voice comes and says, just as we have coronated your son as the king of the cows and the senses, Govinda, thus Govinda Kun, you should coronate him as the king of Braja. So hearing this proclamation from the skies, Nanda Maharaj and the rest of the elders did just that, and they arranged for Krishna to become the king of Braja. So we'll walk a little further past Govinda Kun. There's a very notable place just after Govinda Kun on the right-hand side where devotees are encouraged to build stone homes for themselves. A little place where, you know, this will guarantee that you get to come back and reside at Govardhan. Now, it's interesting when you see devotees do this. I've seen devotees just, you know, take twos and put a thing on top. Okay, boom, that's good. I've seen devotees build three-story palaces, you know, getting stones. No, Prabhu, we got to go. No, I'm not through building yet. You know, I got the kids and the wife, and everybody's got to come in, you know. So there's eventually, maybe that's why we have so much development going on at Govardhan now. I don't know, but at any rate, this is the place where that goes on. So a little further down, you have two options. One is you can proceed on the full Parikram path to the Nisringa Mandir. Nisringa Mandir is a very, very beautiful place. And it is, in my opinion, no disrespect to Keshava Bhardi Maharaj and the ISKCON ashram, but it is, in my opinion, the best place to get the most beautiful darshan of Giriraj in all of his fullness, especially in the early morning. That entire end of the hill is all nothing but trees, and the mist comes in around, and you're up on the top of the Nisringa, and you see down from that one side. It's just such a beautiful sight, such a beautiful sight. So this temple is said to be over 1,000 years old, and there's a beautiful deity, Nisringa Dev, there. And if you give a nice little donation to the Bajari, he'll lift the deity's skirt up and show you Harani Kasipu on Nisringa Dev's lap. Very, very beautiful. There's a rooftop garden and everything. It's a very, very nice place when the sun rises. Now, if you decide not to go that path, there's another little area called the Cowherd Boy Shortcut. Now, I'm sure there must be a proper Manamati, Prangovinda, the Sanskrit Purhits, there must be a proper name. But anyway, everybody just calls it the Cowherd Boy Shortcut. Because what happens is it cuts real close around the actual hill itself. And the Cowherd Boys and animals go a long way. They're boys. They want to take the shortcut, right? What boy goes home the long way? They take the shortcut through the vacant lot. So it's a shortcut right around the close part of the hill. And when you come up on the other side, it's such a nice area. It's literally right at the base of the hill. And all the rocks and the trees are growing. And it's a very little path. And it's really, really neat. You can just really imbibe a cowherd boy mood as you're kind of climbing through these things. And it comes out a little ways up the road. And it's an area called Sutalavan. And it's one of the places where the Rasa dance would take place, or depending on how you see things, the Rasa dance does take place. Where I see things is the Rasa dance did take place. So it weaves itself through all these bushes, and there's very low trees and all, and it's just really a great place. And you come up there, there's a cave there. It's called the Manikandala Cave. And it's a famous cave where Radha and Krishna would enjoy different pastimes. A little near that, just not too far away, is another famous cave. It's a place where Raghava Pandit would reside. Now, if you're like me, when you think cave, okay, I did a little spelunking when I was in high school, and we explored caves all throughout southern Missouri, and, you know, caves, you know. And the cave of Raghava Pandit's not a cave like you would think. It's like about the size of that little space right there, and it's a hole into the wall, and it's not much bigger inside than that little space right there. And this was where Raghava Pandit would sit and perform his bhajan. If you go there now, you can't really go in because it's filled with all kinds of nasty snakes. You can barely even get close enough to stick your head in. The pujaris don't recommend it because you can't get the snakes out. But it's a little place like that. It's a very, very sweet area there. Raghunath, Raghava Pandit, he would take the devotees around Govardhan when they would come. Srinivasacharya, Nartam Das Thakur, Bhatni Ratnakar explains that when they came, Raghava Pandit took them around Govardhan and showed them all these places, and this was where he was living at the time. If we continue a little further, there's a very, very sweet area now. It's got several spots in Aravata Kund and Saraga Kund. All those places are there. It's the overall area is called Kadambavan. And it's, again, one of the most beautiful sandy places on all of Govardhan Hill. Because at this portion, the road with vehicle traffic is like over there where the Tulsi House is. It's like non-existent. Now, there are 6,422,000 monkeys there. But they're very, very passive monkeys. They really don't bother the pilgrims, you know, unlike most of the monkeys. But they just kind of go around, and some people sell nuts that you can feed them if you want to do such things. But that particular area is the place where it is highly recommended by the acharyas that you roll in the dust and give up all inhibitions. Now, generally, the idea of rolling in dust, okay, we read in Krishna Book of Kura did that, okay, that's really nice, and, you know, you do it when you go to Vrindavan, you take the dust, but, you know, most of us are a little too self-conscious, maybe a little inhibited to actually roll in the dust. It's recommended at this place that you just get down in the dust and roll around, and you see devotees do this in mass, and they get up, and they're covered with the dust and sand of Govardhan. It's just such a blissful experience. You have to do it next time you go there. So if we continue along, this way, then we have what I like to refer to as the long haul, because there's a very, very long stretch. Now, of course, there is one nice thing on that stretch, and Seisha and I had the opportunity to take advantage of this. There's a place where they pile bales of hay. And if you happen to be taking a little break and want to get a little rest, it's a nice little place to lay down and take a nap. It's a very comfortable break in that part of the hill. And then you continue on, and then you come back into the town of Govardhan, and it's a little zigzag. You're going past shopkeepers, and they all know that this is another pilgrim of Govardhan Hill. And then you come out on the back end of Govardhan, and there's a very long stretch right next to the road, which is a little bit austere. Because Govardhan is a bit removed off in the distance, almost as far as the Elatual Learning Center is from here. It looks, you know, it's a little far like that. And so you're going along, but after traveling that path for quite some time, and I have to admit that it seemed like it was forever. Is this ever going to end? At the end of it, you come to this oasis, and that oasis is called Udavakund. Now, geographically speaking, Udavakund is right behind Kusum Sarovara. Matter of fact, the hill's almost low enough that you can see the tops of Kusum Sarovara. And of course, this is nowadays because of Govardhan's disappearing, mustard seed at the time. But this is the place where Uddhava spoke with the gopis. And the acharya that runs that place, his name is Giriraj Goswami. Such a wonderful man. Very, very kind and very loving, and just appreciates devotees so much of all walks. He has, you know, he opens his heart to everyone that comes. And there's a very, very wonderful, refreshing kund on the backside of that temple to take bath in. Very, very nice place there. And so then after refreshing ourselves at Uddhava Kund, then we continue out for a bit and go back down the road. And before you know it, we're back in the town of Radhakund. And we finish up by circumambulating Radhakund again. Radhakund and Shyamakund. One nice feature, if you have a desire to get some really nice carved Tulsi pendants or some Tulsi earrings, there's a guy that's on the side of the road at the back end of Shyamakund as you're coming around. And he's been sitting up there for, I don't know, eternity? Probably was there when Radha and Krishna had their pastimes there. He looks so old. And he sells really, really, really nice collection of Tulsi beads. And it's a wonderful place to get Tulsi japa beads and carved Tulsi pendants and Tulsi earrings and things like that. And so then we continue back around to the confluence between Radhakund and Shyamakund. And we go down there, and then we, at the conclusion, we take our bath in Radhakund. With great respect and humility, we submerge ourselves in the waters of Radhakund. In the early days, of course, Srila Prabhupada was greatly concerned because the devotees lacked the proper mood of humility, respect, and reverence for Radhakund, and would splash around like they would the local swimming pool. But those days have changed, and everyone has a much better understanding of the reverence that's due to Sri Radhakund. Because, as I mentioned, Rupa Goswami says that in all of creation, the best of the holy places is in Vrindavan. And in all of Vrindavan, the best of the holy places is Govardhan. And in all of Govardhan, the best of the holy places is Radhakund. So this is a very nice opportunity to, at the end of our parikram, refresh ourselves and take bath in Radhakund and then get up and do it all over again. So we're going to finish our parikram of Radhakund there, of Govardhan, and thank all the devotees for their attentive listening. And I have a time restraint, so we're going to skip any further conversations or any elaborations, which we could go on with for hours because we have an Abhishek to perform. And while we're changing fronts up here, we'll ask whoever is going to be doing the bhajans if they can please set up. And we'll just humbly request that all the devotees throughout the day just submerge themselves in remembering the pastimes at Govardhan and in circumambulating Govardhan. And stay around after the Abhishek because Govardhan's going to come out and we're all going to do parikram around Govardhan here in the temple room. Sri Giriraj Maharaj ki, Govardhan Dari ki, Sri Govardhan Hill ki, Jai Hind.